This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report. It's the 8th of April 2009 here in Japan, but it's still the 7th of April back in Montana, where I'm joined on the line by Bill Bullard, the CEO of RCAF USA, a national association for cattle producers and independent feeders, with over 12,000 members in 47 states and numerous state and local producer affiliates. Bill Bullard, thank you for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Why don't you start by telling us about RCAF USA, its mission, and your background with the organization?
Well, RCAF is a trade association that represents the interests of the family farmers and ranchers who raise and sell live cattle. So we represent the live cattle segment of the overall beef supply chain, and that makes us unique in that because other organizations attempt to represent the entire industry. And so we work on issues that help to promote the family farm and ranch system of agriculture in the United States, and particularly that help to improve the opportunity for our independent producers to remain profitable as independent cattle ranching businesses in the U.S.
I see. And how long have you been associated with RCAF USA?
I have been the CEO of this organization for 8 years now.
I see. Well, certainly it does. RCAF USA does provide a lot of valuable information about issues affecting cattle producers and feeders, and I would suggest my listeners check that information out at r-cafusa.com. But today I'm particularly interested in discussing a recent release from your organization entitled An 8-Point Alternative to NAIS. So firstly, to make sure we're all up to speed on the issue, why don't you start by telling us what the NAIS program is, its background, and why you're opposed to it?
Well, the NAIS stands for the National Animal Identification System, or NAICS, and this is a proposal by the U.S. Department of Agriculture to require every livestock owner to first register their real property on a national federal database, and then to begin registering and tracking the movements of every animal that they own. So a cattle producer, for example, would need to register in a national database and then obtain a federal identification number to affix to each of their livestock. And then every time that livestock is moved from one location to another, the producer would be required to report to the federal government about that livestock movement. So this is a overly intrusive government program that we believe infringes upon the rights and privileges of independent cattle producers across the United States. The program is touted as a means of improving our ability to contain and control disease outbreaks in the U.S. However, the centerpiece of the NAICS is an international ear tag called an 840 ear tag that would be required to be applied to every animal. And that international ear tag has nothing to do whatsoever with disease traceback. In fact, that ear tag supplants what has been a time-proven and historically successful disease control program here in the United States that used to rely on a metal ear tag clip that was affixed to the animal, and that clip had a number that designated the specific state the animal came from and had a code designating the actual local veterinarian that applied the tag when the animal was very young. So under the existing program, if a disease outbreak occurs, any official could look at that metal tag and know exactly which of the 50 states that animal came from, make a phone call to that state, and the state veterinarian could immediately initiate quarantine or control measures necessary to prevent the spread of the disease. But this NAICS replaces all of that with an international ear tag that gives no information, no helpful information, unless one first has access to a computer to access the database that's going to contain well over 100 million animals and hope that there's no error in the data just to determine what state the animal came from. This NAICS is actually going to reduce our ability to contain and control diseases in the United States. And if the USDA were serious about improving our disease traceback capabilities, they would follow our 8-point plan, which number one says you first need to prevent the introduction of foreign animal diseases into the United States. And what USDA is doing right now contradicts that. In fact, they are knowingly allowing cattle from Canada that are of high risk for BSE or mad cow disease into the United States. Their own risk study predicts that we will introduce 19 infected animals as a result of the relaxed policy with respect to Canada's BSE problem. We also know that we are knowingly introducing bovine tuberculosis into the U.S. cattle herd every year because we continually allow Mexican cattle to come into the United States, even though they are known to be infected with tuberculosis in Mexico. So it is contradictory for USDA to say we need this new measure to control diseases when, in fact, USDA has relaxed restrictions that are now allowing the reintroduction of diseases on a daily basis in the United States. So the first thing we need to do is protect against the introduction of disease, a preventive measure, by maintaining strict border controls, and then we need to improve upon the pre-existing system that have really gained the envy of the world in, with our ability to effectively control and eradicate diseases within the U.S. cattle herd, and we're the largest beef producer in the world, and we do have an exemplary system that we should not be tinkering with, as USDA is proposing under this NACE.
Well, certainly the points that you raise in your 8-point alternative sound like just plain common sense and good ideas in this to implement in this system, rather than NACE, which sounds like a bizarre Orwellian layer of government bureaucracy. Why don't you go ahead and go through some of the other specific points that you have in that plan?
Well, what we recognize is that because the U.S. has been so successful in eradicating and controlling diseases, for example, we have significantly reduced the bovine tuberculosis in our herd despite the continued reintroduction from Mexico, and now the hot spots for this disease are really in the deer populations in the states, northeastern states like Michigan. In terms of brucellosis, we've all but eradicated brucellosis within our borders, and the only known reservoir for that disease is in the wildlife population in the greater Yellowstone area, in the elk and the bison that reside there. And so we have been so successful in eradicating diseases that many states have abandoned the disease surveillance programs because they were free of the disease. As a result, we have fewer livestock now participating in these pre-existing successful programs. The second point in our proposal is that we rebuild those pre-existing systems. We adopt the brucellosis-type disease control method and begin to identify the animals that remain in our breeding herd with the same metal ear clip that allowed trace back to the state where the animal was born, as well as the local veterinarian that applied the ear tag. And we use that as the centerpiece of our disease improvement program in the United States. So the second step is to adopt the systems that are working well. The next step is to ensure that a federal database that would consist of citizens' private and property not be held by the federal government, but rather be held by the states that actually have jurisdiction over the citizens. We want the states and our tribal governments to maintain the database necessary to conduct the disease traceback. And then, in recognition of the fact that USDA does not have good lines of communications between all of the 50 state animal health officials, we recommend that USDA improve its communications ability among and between all 50 states and the tribal governments that would hold the databases containing the animals of interest in any disease traceback effort. Also, because we recognize this as being a national security issue, the ability to contain and prevent the spread of diseases, we think the federal government should be paying for the costs of this additional identification as well as surveillance for diseases as they have in the past. And recognizing that the diseases that we now have within the United States that continue to be a problem are indigenous within some of our wildlife populations, we believe the government should be focusing resources in controlling and containing the diseases within these respective wildlife populations that have been identified as being diseased. So that's kind of a summary of what we're recommending to USDA and to Congress.
So in effect, what you're saying is that this problem, this food safety and inspection problem, is going to require boots on the ground rather than electronic tags in an ear. And it's going to be an issue of local and state authorities rather than federal authorities checking and maintaining the system.
Well, that's the way it has always been, and that's why our system has been so successful and why it would be a huge mistake to throw all of that out, to adopt this overly onerous and burdensome and costly program on the entire industry. And it's important to note that this idea wasn't even born in the United States. This was an idea that was incepted at the International World Trade Organization and the World Organization for Animal Health that wanted to figure out a way how to facilitate more imports from developing countries into the developed countries, recognizing that underdeveloped countries did not have the veterinary infrastructure and did not expend the resources to eradicate diseases within their respective countries. So the World Trade Organization, in its infinite wisdom, said, well, we will mitigate the fact that they still have diseases by requiring every country to implement a national animal identification system. And once you have a system in place, you no longer have to worry about controlling and eradicating the diseases, because if you have an outbreak from infected imports, you could quickly trace them back and essentially stamp out the disease. You know, that's a theory that could have devastating impacts on the U.S. cattle industry, which is the largest segment of U.S. agriculture. USDA is really attempting to put our industry at risk just to comply with international trade goals that's encouraging our country and others to relax the import restrictions necessary to prevent the global spread of disease. And we think it's a faulty system from the outset and needs to be stopped immediately.
Now, it's my understanding that NACE is specifically weighted in favor of big agra and against the small family farmer, but why don't you get into some of the specifics of why this is a bum deal for independent producers?
Well, in addition to the fact that it's an invasion of privacy and it runs roughshod over the rights and privileges of independent cattle producers, you know, what other industry has this level of onerous regulation imposed on it, where not only do you have to register your real property, but you also have to register each of your animals, and then you have to report to the federal government every time you move an animal throughout its lifetime. There is no comparison in our economy for that kind of overly intrusive government program. So that's one of the main reasons we object to it. The second one is it simply won't work. We've demonstrated for decades how to administer a disease control program that is highly effective, and in fact we've wiped out foot and mouth disease in our country. We had 9 outbreaks prior to 1929 when it was eradicated. Now we need to continue focusing on our efforts on preventing the introduction of those diseases, and this NAIS does not do that. It's just the opposite. It is a program designed to cause a country to shoulder other countries' disease problems, particularly disease problems in those countries where they, for whatever reason, did not expend the resources to clean up their livestock disease populations. So we are opposed to this because it's an unworkable system, unproven system, and it supplants what we know to be a time-tested, highly successful, and in fact, as I said earlier, the envy of the world, in terms of our ability to control and prevent and eradicate diseases here in the United States.
So moving forward, what is the next step, and how can people who support this effort get on board and help promote this 8-point plan?
Well, what we need to do is first make sure that we have the facts on the table, because the supporters of this, and the supporters are primarily ear tag companies that see dollar signs every time they look at NACE, because they know they're going to be manufacturing and selling the ear tags that are approved by USDA in order to implement this burdensome program. So we need consumers and producers to say this is the wrong approach, to urge Congress to halt any further progress in spending any further money on this, and instead let's do something that is that has common sense and a reasonable factor like this 8-point plan. Let's improve upon the systems that have worked and worked well, and let's not embark upon this internationally sanctioned proposal that's attempting to facilitate global trade without respect to the country's sovereignty, like the United States sovereignty. In addition, the proponents are saying that this is a means of improving food safety, because in the wake of the increased and massive meat recalls we've experienced in the United States over the past couple of years, the proponents of NACE say, well, we need NACE in order to prevent these kinds of occurrences. But the meat recalls have been largely the result of unsanitary conditions at slaughterhouses where pathogens like E. coli and Salmonella were allowed to contaminate otherwise very safe beef. And so what we need to do instead of trying to throw a net over the entire industry to include those who have been producing continuously safe and healthful livestock, we need to target the large meatpacking facilities that are not following existing food safety laws and are allowing our meat to be contaminated and then to be sold to unsuspecting consumers. So we are urging consumers and livestock producers to call their member of Congress, to call USDA, and put a halt to NACE and tell them instead, let's improve upon the legitimate disease challenges that we have. That is, we don't now have as many animals involved in a disease program as we've had in the past. We don't have good communication between the federal government and all of the 50 state governments and the tribes that exist within the United States. And we are not targeting the source of the problem. And the source of the problem is our ineffective enforcement of existing food safety laws within major slaughtering houses in the United States. If we were to follow those three recommendations, we would greatly improve our food safety, and we would improve upon our ability to continue to successfully control and eradicate diseases that may occur within our U.S. livestock industry.
Well, tell listeners once again how they can get more information about this 8-point plan and RCAF USA in general.
Well, they can visit our website at www.r-calfusa.com, or they can call us at 406-252-2516.
Right, excellent. Well, Bill Bullard, this is an issue we'll be keeping our eye on in the future, so hopefully we can have you back on the program to talk at more length about this and other food safety issues. But thank you very much for joining us today on the Corbett Report.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.